Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to the Modern Homesteading Podcast. I'm your host, Harold Thornbrough.
And I'm your other host, Rachel Jameson.
Together again, Rachel.
It's been a while. It has been a little while. Well, I was doing a bunch of interviews. You did a bunch of interviews. Was it in December?
Yeah, I had a few there where I did.
Yeah, and then I did a bunch of interviews and, you know, gives both of us a little bit of a break. And it's just how it goes. You know, you have interviews and some of them are really hard to line up because people are busy. And I just somehow ended up with a bunch of them in a row. So
yeah, we just went with it. It's easier that way. I mean, I've done that. You know, sometimes you just get in a interview mode and you just start doing, you get a hold of a bunch of people all at once and they all say yes all at once. And then it's like, okay, let's do this.
That's exactly what happened.
That's what happened with me a few times too. So yeah, it's great. Yeah. And it's been great for me because it's been super busy on the homestead. Been getting lots of work done around here. So it was convenient for me.
I had a really good time. I mean, I really enjoy doing interviews. I love talking to other homesteaders.
And you did some great interviews. My mind is still kind of swimming around over that the Nigel Palmer interview.
Fertility. Brilliant.
That was some great information. Folks, if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that one. If you don't listen to any of the others, you listen to that one because that one.
He has a book and then he has a YouTube channel. And the book, I'll be honest with you, the book to me was a little overwhelming.
I like the book.
But once you pair the book together with his YouTube channel brings it down to DIY level, very much so.
Just hearing him talk to you was encouraging. I mean, really to think that he makes it sound like, this is doable. You know, all this stuff is so easily done and you can make a huge difference in your garden production
and super simple, super affordable. Yeah. But you know, I never knew that before I interviewed him, I never knew that he was an aerospace engineer. After talking to him, you're like, okay, that makes sense. Cause he's just brilliant.
He's just that kind of guy. It was a great interview, but so today we're going to talk about that's funny because that's kind of high tech soil, you know, studying and stuff. I mean, so you think about the way what he views soil. I mean, he's really getting into the biology and, you know, the science of it, right? And then when we think of the other side, we're thinking about like technology in the sense of like electronics and things, which is what we're going to talk about today: homesteading and technology. And you know, as modern homesteaders, you know, we use technology, you know, it's just technology is part of our lives. You know, I mean, we have electricity. We're on the internet right now. We're on a Zoom call all this stuff is just part of our lives. Right. But I feel like, there are definitely some reasons that technology can be a huge benefit to your homestead. But I also want to spend a little bit of time talking about potential problems with using tech on the homestead. And then we can maybe kind of talk about where we land at this moment on it. But I do think there are some real reasons that tech can be valuable. And I think for me in the past, it's been time saving because there was a time when I didn't have a lot of time, especially early on when I was doing this and anything I could do to save me some time was worth having.
Yeah.
I mean, so tech can definitely save you time, especially when it comes to watering.
When you're one of us modern homesteaders that homesteads and have a job at the same time, time saving's huge.
I was thinking, just like, so we're going to talk more about that actual things, maybe some things that you can actually add that are tech that you can add to your homestead that will save you these things. But that is the first thing that comes to my mind, is watering a garden. You spend a lot of time watering things and some technology there can save you a lot of time. Labor. I mean, it's just all these things save you labor. If you don't have to take the time and go do the things, tech can save you labor.
Right.
And like you've talked about it a few times, with your freezer, and we'll talk about that tool here in a little bit, but it can actually prevent potential loss of a lot of money and whatever you have, you know, in your freezers and stuff, by using some technology there that you do. So technology can absolutely be a huge benefit on the homestead.
It really can. I think that, you know, technology and automation are good things. We are going to talk about, you know, sometimes we don't absolutely love them.
No.
But for me, it definitely made it so that we could go away, or I don't have to check things every day. I probably should, but I don't. Well, not, and I'm not talking about animals. I'm talking about plants. But I have plant babies in my basement, and sometimes I just get so busy, and it's easier. Or I'm relying on my memory, which is not a very good thing to rely on, trust me. I'm relying on my memory to turn lights on and off, or to turn water on and off. And that's where automation and tech really, really helps, because before I was forgetting to either turn the lights off, or I was forgetting to turn them on. So I would have seedlings that wouldn't have light for a couple of days. Well, that's not good when you're trying to grow healthy seedlings.
Right.
So, you know, for me, I guess I kind of thought of it more of as a lower tech. But maybe it's not. Maybe it is a it is a high tech thing. I guess it depends on where your definition of high tech and low tech are. Especially
there's definitely levels of
AI.
There's definitely levels of technology, and AI is probably the top. You know, it's probably at the peak. But then I think when you start getting into like signals, like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, I think that's a high tech still. I mean, I think we're in that phase. Solar is probably a little below that, because solar is getting pretty common and pretty standard. I mean, so is Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, but you know, these are still all things that are probably on the higher tech side of things. But then you're just getting down to basic timers and, you know, heat and, you know, switches and things. That's middle low tech, you know. I mean, there's definitely levels of technology, right? And I think we're definitely in an age now where this high tech stuff can be super beneficial, but it can also be pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. It can also have a lot of moving parts that can fail. You know, which we're getting into the potential problems, failure and overdependence. Because if you are too dependent on them to the point where you're not paying attention to things because you just know it's going to happen without you intervening, and then one day it fails, well, then the whole benefit that it was giving you, you just lost. Like, if you didn't look at these things and verify they're working, then they fail, then, you know, you could still have a big loss. I mean, if say you have something that's going to automatic water, but it failed, but you didn't know it failed. Oh, I don't have to worry about that because it's going to and everything just died. You know, all your plants died because you didn't go out and look. Or like I was telling you about last year with my aquaponics, I'm actually scaling back on aquaponics because it's been more of a novelty for me. It hasn't been really a thing of production, and I've enjoyed it because I like tech. I mean, I like technology. I like systems. I like, I'm a mechanic, you know. I just loved how things work, you know, and I like building things. But so it's been fun for me. But when I really look at the production and what I'm getting out of it, it's like, it's cheaper and easier to grow it in the ground, in some soil, than it is with aquaponics. As fascinating as I think aquaponics is. And I think now I think it can be done at a certain scale to where it's very productive and very beneficial and cost effective. But for me, it wasn't, you know, because it's doing, but then I got comfortable with it. I had things on timers and all these pumps are running, lights are running, things are running, heat, all this stuff's all on timers and temperature gauges and all kinds of stuff. And I got complacent. And then I didn't pay attention for several days. And then I walked by my greenhouse where I had all this going on, and I could smell the dead fish. And I went in there it hadn't been working evidently for a few days because I was complacent and, you know, plants were dying, fish were dead. I mean, it failed. And I didn't notice because I thought, well, I just became over dependent on it, you know? And, I think that happens a lot with technology because it does fail, you know, and we get so used to things just working that it's like, it's just waiting for you not to be paying attention so it can fail.
Yeah. And that's why I have always been very low tech person. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of why I've always leaned actually more even towards primitive technology, like old school canning and an old school cellar and dry food storage, and we still probably are leaning towards getting rid of having so many freezers and having less dependence on that because we've had them fail before and we've mm-hmm. lost food before. But I do feel like there's a purpose for it. And I feel like, this is a modern homesteading podcast. And I do feel like there's some really cool tech out there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that people shouldn't use it. I'm just saying I might not be a huge fan of having every little thing automated on my
homestead. I would say I actually enjoy it and it's fun. But I also think it's probably not the best thing for my homestead. It, for one thing, it's expensive too. It can be really expensive buying all the toys. You start buying all the toys and putting them to use. And then what I find is, in the past, I buy these toys. I use them for a while. And then I stop using them. And I just basically wasted my money because I stopped using them at some point or something.
Yeah.
It happens a lot
and for me,
like that.
You know, I think we've talked about this before a little bit. But the mini prepper in me thinks, how sustainable is some of this tech once it quits and you can't get it? Or we've actually had this happen where tech becomes obsolete. So you mm-hmm. have this old gadget, say a freezer alarm, that they update it to a newer one. So then when they go to update the app, your older one becomes obsolete. So you have to buy the new one.
Yeah.
You know, and
absolutely.
Yeah. So there's,
I think what I dislike about technology the most, and like I said, this wasn't at first, I didn't care. I was all about saving time, saving labor, and putting all this to use. But I think as I've been doing it a lot longer, is anytime I've got automation going on and I've got, I'm using some technology for that and timers and all the stuff, it kind of disconnects me from the homesteading lifestyle a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't get that enjoyment of, just doing all the things and paying attention to the things. And it's like, you feel so much more connected when it's all dependent on you going and spending the time and doing the labor and paying attention versus when you're just kind of relying on all this stuff to do it for you. And I have come to really enjoy the connection to the homesteading lifestyle as much as the produce that it produces for me. Right.
Or we kind of got into this before we were going to talk about, we're doing this reverse of how we were going to, but since we're here, that was what I felt like too. I feel like my connection to the plants and the animals, that's what makes me human. And when I remove that because tech is doing it, I don't know. For me, I think it's going to have to be a specific thing and have a specific purpose because that's why I'm homesteading. I mean, I am homesteading. Both you and I started homesteading for our health, but I also realized that part of my health benefit has been that connection, like being outside, breathing the fresh air, getting dirty, being in the garden, watering, just that peacefulness. I can stand there and, you can stand there and pray or meditate or whatever you do while you're watering your plants and
listen to podcasts.
But I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like that's where my heart is. It's just
You don't want to get a weed pulling robot to do all that for you or anything?
No, I don't. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with it. Cause we do have, our watering, our garden is on a timer.
Yeah.
But there's certain times but we only use that rarely. I mean, we use it once in a while. We use it when we're gone. We don't use it all the time.
Yeah.
Because I actually enjoy being out there and watering. And watching the bees interact with the plants and the birds. And I don't know, there's just something about that. And I just feel like that's just kind of how we were designed.
And, but I also think there's people who don't have a lot of time.
Yeah,
and this enables them to homestead.
Yep.
Take advantage of it, 100%. Everything you can. But if you can be home and do these things, I actually feel like it's a better choice to do these things. Without the automation necessarily, but there's time and place for sure. As a matter of fact, we're going to give you a few things. Some of these things we think are a good idea. Some of them I just think are cool and I don't use them, but I thought, well, that's really neat. I want to mention it. So I just put down some,
because
I thought that was kind of neat.
Some of these we have recommendations for and other ones I just mentioned because I can't tell you what works well, cause I've never had one, but I thought, I should mention that that's a cool thing.
I the first one I had right off the bat was Tech for the Garden. And this was a Bluetooth soil moisture and temperature meter. Not only does this thing do all that, and it gives you this information in an app. So it's in your garden and it's telling you the moisture level in your garden, your temperature of your soil, all this stuff, right? It can actually be, I don't know if this one could or not, but there was one I saw that could be connected to a automatic waterer to kick on sprinkler systems. Like when it got below a certain level of moisture in your garden, it would automatically just send a signal to it, kick it on, water your garden for you. Do all the things, you know, let you know if the temperatures were getting too low, you cover things up, whatever. I mean, that's amazing. I don't have anything like that. Probably will never have anything like that in my garden.
Right.
But it's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. And I could see totally being used for a purpose. So yeah, you go on vacation or you have a very large garden area, a very large. And when I say large, to me, I'm not even talking hundreds of acres. I mean, if you even had 5 acres to take care of, it would be nice to have it, even if all you did was use it for the soil in the for the soil moisture and the temperatures.
Yeah. Just have it sent to your phone and keep tabs on it even. Yeah.
Yeah, because temperature helps you know when to plant, when things are going to germinate better, which plants, you know.
These are just like little probes with a sensor on top that sends a signal. You know, it just sticks right in the ground, stays there, and it just feeds you this information all the time. I thought it was kind of cool. Water timers or something. It's pretty low tech, but it's something that's been around a long time. I mean, they're digital. Most of them are digital anymore. You just set times on them, and they'll kick on automatically and water. But I think it's something a lot of people use. I still don't even use one of those. I have used one of those, but I had one 10 years ago, probably. I don't know, somewhere around there. I had one I used for a while, failed on me at one point, never replaced it because I don't really need it.
We have one and it's analog.
Oh, really? Yeah, I had digital.
I think my husband got it at Menards. I know we didn't get it on Amazon, but yeah, we use that. It's handy, especially if we're gone or busy.
Now, this next one, I think are actually a good idea if you have a lot of, pest issues like deer and rabbits and things like that. And so that motion activated sprinkler, I think it's a good way to keep some pests out of the garden. And
yeah, I've heard people using those for people that have been having problems with cats going to the bathroom and their garden.
I might be putting one in my garden this year because I have a bunch of neighbors' cats that are, they're hanging out in my garden a lot.
I think it would be really helpful. And I've also heard it helps with two-legged things that wander onto your property. Well, one of the things I put on here, and I don't have a link because there was so many and I don't know which is the best one, but I've seen garden towers that people have. So if you're in like a really small space and you even have like a balcony, I've seen these garden towers that are totally automated. Mm-hmm. They get self-water with timers for their lights that are on solar. They're just crazy. And yes, they're expensive, but some of those put out a ton of food. And I actually have a friend that has one and he grows year round and he just puts it in his living room. And then in the summer, he puts it out on the porch.
Yep.
And they love
gardens
it.
And things like that. Yeah. They're pretty awesome. A lot of them are even hydroponic and fully automated, and they're just amazing. They grow they grow fast and they grow really well. I mean, it's one way you can grow a lot of food in a very small space and be fully automated. And if you're a busy person but you want to grow some greens or whatever, they'll do it and they'll do it good.
To me, that is definitely a really cool use for tech, especially if you're in a very small spot.
How about tech for livestock? I know you've had chickens in the past. Do you ever have an automatic chicken coop door?
I didn't, but I don't know. We kind of talked about this before the show.
Yeah, we were.
The idea. I really do like the idea of it. I think if I was going to do it, I would probably have, which we're going to talk about a little bit further down, but I would probably have a camera just to make sure, or I would still want to make sure. But
we were talking about, we were talking earlier. You said, well, I kind of enjoy letting them out. And
I love it.
And he's like, yeah, that would be great. But, you know, what if you want to go out to dinner with your spouse and it's right about that time? And now you got to either wait till after you put the chickens up or before. And all you have to do is just check and make sure they all got in when you got back. I could see that being a really handy thing. You know, I mean, it's pretty low tech. And it's, you know, but there are, of course, anything's prone to failure. So you still always want to check. But I just think it could be handy if you just happen to be away from the house when it was that right time, and something you could just check and make sure when you got back, and it could save the lives of your chickens. I mean,
or I'm just thinking of this. If you had a really strange schedule like you do,
where you leave before dark, you know, and but your chickens are still out. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think there's absolutely use cases where an automatic chicken door chicken coop door would be a really good idea. Everybody's really using electric poultry netting anymore. If you got any kind of predator like pressure, yeah, it's really a good idea because you're going to probably protect your chickens with some poultry netting. And that's not, again, it's not high tech. You can get the solar chargers and everything, and you know, it's a little higher tech, but you know, and there's still some failure. You still got to check. I mean, I don't know how many times people go out and check it. Oh, this ain't even hot. You know, it happens all the time. So you have to just kind of keep tabs on them, but you know, there's lots of things. I think something I didn't put in on the list, but, I have this, it's called an Inkbird thermostat, and I use this thing in everything. I use it for, running heaters. I will use it for, in my brooders, like when I'm brooding and stuff like that. It's perfect. I mean, this thing will kick, you can set the degree range, you can set the temperatures, and it kicks anything off and on. It's actually out at our camper right now. We had a little electric heater hooked up to it camper.
You can put a temperature that you want and it'll turn it on and off.
Yep.
Basically, it's just like a thermostat.
And you can set off the range, you know, at whatever range, whatever temperature, and how far you want it to go before it kicks off and on. So you can keep it like within a degree or 3 degrees or whatever of that. You could literally use it to incubate eggs if you wanted to build your own incubator and use one of those and have the probe in there.
You're going to have to put the link in there.
I actually have written blog posts, but I'll share the blog post I've written about it because I've written blog posts about it. It's probably my favorite tech. I use it on all the time. I have a couple of them actually, and really super handy. They even have a newer one that has,
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think it's Bluetooth or Wi-Fi built into it, and it can connect to your phone, and you can control it from your phone and keep tabs on it from your phone even. I've seen that. I don't have that one, but they make one of those now with a little more up to date.
That's kind of nice, especially if you're away from home for a lot and you've got like baby chicks.
Yeah, because honestly, what you're going to talk about one for your freezer, you could actually use that in a freezer even. You can actually use that. You can actually use something like that for like building like a walk-in freezer.
We didn't put that on here.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the cool bots, is a you know, little piece of technology
that
a lot of homesteaders find very, very valuable. Yeah. You can make a walk-in freezer basically out of an air conditioner. Yeah.
Yeah. We can talk about that for the tech for the house maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's something I forgot to put in, but you know, there's, you added auto feeders and things like that.
Yeah, there's auto feeders. There's, and you must, because you have baby chicks and baby quail, but incubators and hatchers.
Yep, yep. I have mine.
Those are nice incubator. Little tech. I mean, they are tech.
It's simple, but yeah, it's just basically a heater. That's what it is.
Yeah. And they also roll the eggs probably too, right? Lot of them will rotate the eggs.
Turners. Yeah, it's got the turner in it. Yeah, it just rotates back and forth.
And they keep the humidity.
You can do that. Mine doesn't do the humidity, but they are some. Okay. You can actually add an extra thing on it that just pipes into it that adjusts your humidity.
Yeah, and all that does is mimic what Mama would do.
At one point, I had electric heated water bottles on my rabbits, which was really nice.
I didn't know they had those. That is
good. They do have those. But the only problem I always ran into is they're the bite kind. You have to bite down on them instead of the little ball valve kind. There's a couple different kinds of waters. There's the ones they bite down on. It's got like a little needle valve and it waters them. So many people, I recommended those at one time, but so many people kept sending me emails about how their rabbits would not use the bite down kind. They would only use the ball valve kind that they lick and they get their water. Okay.
Yeah.
And those only come in the like bite down things where they have to bite down on them to get the water. And my rabbits always did it. The only reason I quit using them is because they're kind of expensive and I didn't have enough of them for all my rabbits because I had so many rabbits at one point and I didn't buy a bunch of them, but
maybe the company's changed it now and they got the ones.
I mean, mine are like 12 years old, probably something like that, 11, 12 years old. I only had like three of them. And as I was expanding, I just didn't have any more. They worked really well. They worked really well. Like we had like some, you know, 30 below zero and their water was good to drink, was kind of great. You know, it was kind
of
great.
Thawing water is just, that's one of the bane of any homesteader's existence. If you live in the North.
I mean, I've got a good, simple solution now. Twice a day, I just, they'll freeze solid, the water bottles will, and I just keep a bucket and I just rotate them. I just pull all the ones off and put up the new ones and bring those ones in the house, set them right on some ductwork and let them thaw out, fill them, top them off, take them back out. Twice a day I'm doing that, just letting them thaw out. And it, you know, it's a little bit more work, but again, it puts me in touch with the homestead a little bit more. I don't know why, but I enjoy that. You know, it's,
I
like,
do too. I enjoy repetition and routine.
Yeah. I just like having a system that works, but yet still keeps me in touch with things. It's not a lot of labor. It's not going to take that long to go out there and hang all those up, you know, and do a thing. You just get a system set up that works easy. And yeah, it works nice. I have to have twice as many bottles, but those water bottles are really cheap. Not like the heated ones, but like I said, they work, but I guess a lot of people's rabbits just won't drink water out of them, which I thought was crazy. I mean, I never had any issue with it, but I didn't use them that long, a couple of years. Anyway, another piece of tech though, if somebody was interested in checking those out.
It got me thinking too, if you have bigger animals, they've got heated water tanks, and we used a heated dog dish with the chickens.
Yeah. I've got I've got these submergible, heaters that you just drop in water and drop them in. I use them in my pond, my little backyard pond. I use them in the aquaponics tanks. I mean, you could use them in a water storage system. You could use them in all kinds of things. So yeah, work really well. So that's just a few things for livestock. There's tons of other stuff. I mean, if you really wanted to get into all kinds of stuff, there's all kinds of monitoring things for livestock, but more high tech than anything I've ever used. So I don't, you know, it's nothing I really know anything about. Tech for the house. This is something you've talked about a few times. You want to go ahead and share that with us again?
Well, it's funny because it was sitting right here. I have, these Jovi, they're like little, they have a hygrometer and a thermometer on them. They're like these little discs that you can stick. And you don't have to use them in the freezer. You could actually use them anywhere in your house. So if you go away for the winter or away for the summer, because some people up here, people go away for the winter. And in some places down south, people go away for the summer. But anyways, you can put them anywheres. And you program when you want to be alarmed, I guess is the best way to put it. So if you want to be alarmed if it's above 80 degrees, or if you want to be alarmed if it's above 10 degrees, if it's your freezer, it will tell you. And then it sends it through Wi-Fi, or you can do Bluetooth to your phone. And so we have one in each of our freezers, and it keeps track of the temperature and what the humidity is. And we have one freezer that we never realized was acting up, that we're now realizing is acting up because of us putting the thermometer in it. And so now we're watching it. We better eat the food out of that one first, because I'm not sure that freezer is going to make it much longer.
Yeah, you've talked about those before, and I think they're a great idea. But again, my mind goes to potential failure. And I'm like, well, say it's middle of winter and electricity goes down. A lot of time when electricity goes down, your Wi-Fi goes down too.
Yep.
So your Wi-Fi is down. So that
is going to work.
Yeah, it's going to fail during that situation. So you're not going to have any power to it, and you're not going to know. Yep. So, there's potentials for failures and all this stuff, but yet when it's working right and everything's working, it's just a freezer failure. It could absolutely tell you that.
Well, and if I was home, I could switch it over to Bluetooth if we lost power, because these are totally battery operated.
Okay.
And my phone would be battery operated, any of that could fail. And that's why I talked about earlier, I actually like primitive technology, and I've been leaning towards getting rid of, right now we have three freezers, getting rid of, you know, all but one of them. And using other methods, just because I hate, they take up so much space. They use power. There's just always that,
what I like
in the
about
back
them.
Of my mind, there's always that it could fail, because we have one fail.
In my mind, though, it's the quickest and easiest way to store food.
It is.
Which I love. Just toss it in there pretty much.
It is. Butcher a bird and you just stick it in the freezer.
Blanch
some green beans, you stick them in the freezer. It's
very simple.
It is. It's a very easy way to do it. But we've also lost a whole freezer before full of food.
Yes.
Yeah. And once you do that, if you ever do that one time, you never forget that. Yeah.
Personally, my parents have lost one before and lost, but ours has never went down full. So I think we've been pretty fortunate there.
And the other thing I had neck under this, and I know it doesn't seem very homesteady, but if you're going to be using a lot of this tech, a lot of it involves you having Wi-Fi. And, you know, my son-in-law is really good at tech and stuff like that. And he sent us this link because he did some research and on this Wi-Fi system. And what he liked about it was secure, because that's one of the issues with Wi-Fi is it's not always very secure. But one of the other things parents might like about it has parental controls on it. I don't have little kids anymore, but if you have young kids or teenagers, it helps with that. But it also is expandable. So we have one in our upstairs and one in our downstairs, which made us able to put security cameras actually not even close to our house, but they still get Wi-Fi.
That is a issue I run into. And we can skip to that next if you want and talk about security cameras.
Go ahead.
That's an issue I ran into, because like we have Wi-Fi cameras. We have like a Ring doorbell, and then we have a regular, like another Wi-Fi camera at the back of our house that shines over the front of our barn. But at the back, where like the barn doors are, the garage doors and stuff are at the back, our Wi-Fi signal isn't strong enough to run cameras back there. So it is an issue. So we either have to hardwire them in or get some kind of a booster that'll get a signal back there.
This one you can put extensions on, which is what we did. And that's what, I mean, I know somebody, that used Wi-Fi cameras to figure out what was killing their rabbits. And they put a camera back there. That's one of the things where the security portion with the cameras can be even predator security, not just two-footed security. And they figured out it was a raccoon.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's part of your security. I think cameras, I mean, went years without them, but then once you start getting them, you're like, oh, these are really nice to have, because they really do give you a peace of mind about things around your property and can help you protect things from predators. I mean, you know, I just had to get a possum out of my greenhouse last week. I mean, it was in there going through stuff. So, I mean, they're just, it's constantly, you got animals going through stuff and, you know, doing things.
Yeah, we have cameras out at our property, but they're not Wi-Fi or anything like that, but it helped us know what predators are out there. And we actually have quite a few bears running around out there.
You know, I said I didn't have cameras at the back of our barn. Well, we had that. I was talking about it in the pre-show. Remember pre-show that I just filled up a 20-yard dumpster of our garage. Yeah. Of course, it's back there. So it's sitting back a couple of days before they come get it after we filled it up. Well, somebody comes back there and starts rummaging through it, throwing everything out of it, looking for whatever, just stuff they can get. Gosh. And they just threw it everywhere. And, you know, because I ain't got no camera back there. And so I had to go back here and put it all back in, get it all flattened back out. I'm like, man, you gotta be kidding me, people. I don't care if you get digging or get stuff, but why do you have to throw everything out?
Right.
Put everything back in, you know? So I had to go and clean up that mess. So things like that happen, right? I mean, you just got people.
They do. And it's just been super nice for us. You know, you're waiting for a package. I know a lot of people have the front doorbell thingies, like you said.
Yeah,
you have
the Ring. Yeah, we have the Ring doorbell. Yeah, camera.
Yeah, it's just nice. And I think you could use them. Even my husband grew up on a hobby farm, and he said it was the animals always have babies in the middle of the night. And he's always. You know, he was like, I could see cameras being useful for something like that, putting one in the barn and knowing that, you know, false alarm or not.
I tell you, there, a piece of tech that I'd be hard pressed to do without is the solar motion sensor security lights that they're constantly charged from the sun, but yet then any motion just lights them up. And I tell you, we have several of those around the property, and it will light this place up if somebody's out walking around. But what generally happens is there's cats or something walking around. So it seems like it's lit up a lot around here, because there's always some animal walking around.
So I don't know. I mean, as much as we talk about not liking tech, I think we have put together a decent list here, and a few of them we kind of like.
Yeah, simple tech. A lot of it is, you know, and again, I'm a computer guy. I'm on the computer a lot, you know. Well, I haven't been lately, but I've been, you know, I do like technology, you know. I'm fascinated by AI. I don't know how it's going to end our world, but I'm fascinated by it. I was watching a YouTube video about the OpenAI robot they was doing some kind of it is amazing. I ought to share a link to that. This thing, they're like, you know, just asking it like general questions. Since it's super casual, answering the questions, he's like, is there anything on that table I can eat? I got an apple here. You want that? And he's like handing him an apple. And it's like talking to a person almost and doing things like a person would do. And I was like, that's a little freaky. But and that's where we're at, you know, and it makes me wonder in like 10, 15, 20 years where we're going to be at.
I mean, the one thing I did forget to mention, I have down here, there is a bunch of homes studying apps. And
yeah, I was leading to that. Yeah.
I played on was Seed Time. Now, I didn't, there's a free version and there's a paid version. I have the free version. I probably won't use it though, because I am not a person that uses, I don't even use the electronic calendar on my phone. But there's stuff like that that will help you know when to plant and put together succession planting schedules, which can get complicated. Yep. And that was kind of why I wanted to do it.
Lots of apps great for identifying plants, especially yes. for foraging and things that. Lots of great apps for that out there. I've used a couple of those and they work really well. It's amazing how well they work.
I'm grabbing my phone to look at what I have. I have one that I really like. It's called PlantNet.
Yeah, that's the one I have. Yeah, that one actually, it's really good for identifying stuff. It'll give you like some options and you'll look at the actual pictures of plants and like, oh, that's definitely it. And you can match them up and you can identify the fruit or the berry, the leaves, the bark. It'll do like different ways of verifying it and stuff. It's really, really good.
It is really good. And it'll go by your area and then it gives you the Latin name. It's I really like it. I use it.
Information about it. Yeah. I've actually planted a few things around my property that like some of them were like decorative bushes and things like that. But I was like, I forgot what they were. It's like, what are these? So I'd use that app to identify them. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember that now. And it's like, you know, so then I actually have a little book. I tried to keep track of that in, but then I got the book after I planted a lot of that stuff. So it's like, I've been trying to go back and kind of really keep tabs on what I planted around here. And, because I got like three apple trees. I don't know the varieties on all three of those apple trees because I didn't write it down when I planted them, right? And I forgot. Right. In your mind, you're thinking, I'll always remember that, but then you don't. And
were you able to identify the apples through that?
No. That's why I say I don't know those apple trees, but I'm just making a point. Like you plant stuff and it's like, then you forget what it was. Yes. And it'd be nice. It's nice to keep track of things like that.
It's easier than people would think to forget.
Yeah. Which was, I was getting ready to make the point. Especially if you're into doing any kind of permaculture design or property design, there's a lot of software out there that's really good for like when you're mapping out your property, you can label things where they're going, especially your perennials and your trees and things like that.
There is.
Oh yeah. There's all kinds of, I mean, just even the simplest of software, just using things that, that's just for actual design like that. I mean, you know, just building something and saving the files and doing things. I mean, this is technology, but it's absolutely useful. And I do things like that. I mean, I am for that because it really does help you keep tabs.
Well, I was looking at, before we got on here, I had quickly Googled, you know, that word, Googled using Google Docs and Google Calendar for your homestead. And there was a bunch of YouTube videos out there on people that have been use it to schedule things and put reminders to themselves to, I don't know, mend the soil or check the cows and see if they're pregnant on this day. And, you know, we have all of those solutions that are definitely helpful, especially the more you've got going on, the more handy these become.
I think the worst thing about that being using these apps and this software and all that stuff is that it will probably be lost for the next generation, where I've been rereading the book 10 Acres Enough.
Oh yeah.
And that guy was such a great record keeper of all the things he was doing.
Yes.
And, you know, and then I look at like Thomas Jefferson's book about his gardens. His farm and book. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's always here for us to look at, and how meticulous his records were and when he planted things and when he harvested things and what, how good it done and what it suffered with. I mean, we lose something by not putting that in paper, I think, and passing it down.
I do feel like if you're going to use something like that, that maybe it would be a good idea too, to print it, because a lot of that stuff, if you lose power or the internet goes down, and I know this sounds crazy, but we've had it happen several times in the last few years, haven't we? You don't have access to that stuff. When I was working at an office, we actually lost access to things for a day because we had used some Google Docs for things. So it might be a good idea to print it out. And then it's also nice to print it out because for what you just said, it's nice for your.
Put it in a binder.
Yeah.
Put some holes in it, put it in a binder and hand it down to your kids or something. And maybe they'll want to do something, maybe get it published one day or something and do something with it. Like, you know, like other people have done.
It's
with
pretty
stuff
cool.
Like that.
I
love reading
Jefferson's garden.
I do too. I got it on the shelf behind me.
I love it.
Yeah, I just think it's, like I said, that 10 Acres Enough that I'm reading. You know, it's a small book, but that guy kept track of like how much money exactly he made with everything, how much he spent on everything, you know, what, how much he planted, when he harvested, what he was battling with as far as weeds and different. I mean, I love that kind of record keeping. I don't love doing it so much, but I love reading about it. And I love just seeing how people did that.
Every spring I kind of set out with the purpose of doing something like that because I enjoy reading it so much. Mm-hmm. I enjoy reading historical accounts of homesteads and farms and stuff like that.
Me too.
But I never follow through with it.
I've started so many times and I'll get, you know, maybe a couple months into it, but then I'll
get to like June.
Busy in the summertime and then you stop. And yeah, I've done that several times too.
I need to just leave it outside, like on the porch and then maybe when I sit down and drink my water or something like that, I would remember to do it. But
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, it's or printing up might be a better option. Just doing the stuff on, you know, and printing it up and putting it in a book or something. You know, it's like I'll write a blog post on something. It's like maybe I need to turn that into an actual page and put it in something. So it's
That's kind of how later. With my blog, which I am very bad about updating. That was kind of my purpose, was almost like a diary slash blog slash.
Yeah. When blogs were first invented, that's kind of like what was like a, you know, like a daily log of what you were doing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think it could be a great idea, but again, we're going to low tech. So we're showing there's like this big difference in high tech or technology versus this old school way that still, you know, we still find fascinating and read and do all these things. I guess it's probably part of why I just kind of reversing my mindset and wanting to do less and less and less technology all the time, even though there's some things I'll probably always have. I'm always going to have like the solar lights and the cameras and things like that. I mean, there's just some things I'm going to use, and I think they're a great idea. And it's like, if anybody says, hey, I want the technology, I love it, I invite it, I enjoy it, I want it all, have at it. I think it's fascinating as can be, but I just find that I'm enjoying more having that more direct connection with my homestead.
Well, and for me, it feels like I have to have more of a thought process behind, well, what do I do if I need to back, I have to back this up now.
Yeah.
Where if I'm just, if I just have plants in soil and I have to go out there with my watering can, I don't have to back that up as much. I could, otherwise, I guess I have to back myself up if I fell and broke my leg or something like that. But
and I actually think you have to include it as part of your budget is replacing these things because they don't last forever. You know, and if you're looking at maybe just having a, you know, reducing expenses, like if you're really into simple living and you're wanting to get your expenses reduced as much as possible, then technology is that's part of your budget because this stuff don't last and you're going to upgrade things. Things are going to need upgraded. Things are going to need replaced. And, you know, it's like, I just don't want to rely on that. It's like me, I'm actually to the point now where I'm actually doing away with a lot of wood around here because wood breaks down so fast when it gets moist and, you know, just wooden beds, you know, raised beds. And
that's right. You've gone to the little metal ones, right?
No, I'm going stone. I'm putting rocks down for everything.
That's right. You're doing the stone.
And as far as like, I'm putting stone down and cement blocks for things. And, you know, I'm just doing away with wood, brick. I'm going brick, cement blocks and stone on most stuff because if I can.
Wait to see some of this.
Because I just don't want to. I'm actually at that point where I told you that, you know, I got these 20-yard dumpster, right? I'm filling it up. A lot of that was all this old rotten wood around everything. All these borders around my walkways, all this stuff is rotten wood. I'm just throwing in there and so rotten, you know, 6-7 years later, it's just completely rotten. And, you know, you don't get that with stone and cement.
Well, and that's kind of what we're both into is that permaculture, which is permanent things like permanent agriculture and using stone and cement blocks and bricks is definitely a permanent solution.
Yeah. If every 10 years I got the expense of replacing all the wood stuff around here that's rotted, plus the labor, plus just doing, you know, just all the time involved in doing it again, that doesn't seem like a great use of my money. I'd almost rather spend a little bit more, which I'm buying rocks really cheap and stuff. I'm getting that riprap stone you know, and putting it around garden beds and things, and it's not expensive, and you know, makes a nice border, raises bed up about 6-7 inches, so it gives you a little bit of a raised bed. You know, separates my paths from my garden. I'm not getting the erosion out of my gardens into my pathways, and you know, it's doing the trick. I'm actually think it's a better way. I have to bend over a little further because I'm not making them as tall.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and that's what, you know, creating systems that, to me, that's why I like primitive. I like to create primitive systems that will stand the test of time.
Yeah.
Just thinking super far into the future. That's how I like things, which is why I feel like tech does sometimes make it hard because it becomes obsolete pretty quickly.
Yeah. And it does. And like I said, I think it just disconnects me from too many things that I want to be connected with on the homestead. It was all about, you know, eating healthy and getting a good harvest when I first started, but it's become so much more than that, you know, for me. And it's really about being connected with the land, with the animals, with the plants, and just enjoying kind of the way it's supposed to be, you know, having that hand in the soil and out there taking care of that stuff. And, I enjoy the process as much as the harvest. I really do.
Yeah. Same here. I mean, I just love being out there in the sun and having my hands in the dirt and the birds and the bees buzzing around you. And
so
chickens, you know,
I guess we'll close with that. We'll just say, you know what? There's some fun technology out there. There's some useful technology out there.
Yeah.
And if it fits what you're trying to do, you should use some of it. And if it doesn't, and it really doesn't thrill you to have it, then you can do it without it and be more connected even with your homestead. So, and I think that's where I'm definitely leaning toward these days.
Yeah.
It sounds like you too.
Yep. Me too.
Well, with that, folks, happy homesteading. God bless.
And grow where you're planted.